When the journalist Lauren Weber was growing up, her father was called cheap by family members, friends, and colleagues. He refused to set the heat above 50 degrees during the winter in New England. He turned out the lights even if somebody had left room for just a moment. And for a little while, he even tried to ration the family's use of toilet paper. All that and more makes Lauren Weber the perfect person to explore the roots of frugality in the United States, which she has documented in a new book called In Cheap We Trust. She's in our studios in New York. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Steve.
One of the things that I'm fascinated by is what happened when people you spoke with began describing their own cheapness. They almost were in the closet. They wanted to be in the closet about being cheap.
Yeah, it's true. When I started working on the book, a friend of mine suggested I call it Thrift, A Short History of a Dying Virtue. Mm-hmm. But the more I did reporting on it, the more I, you know, every person I talked to about it would say, oh, you've got to interview my father, my brother, my wife, or you should interview me. And I realized that thrift didn't die at all. It's not dying. In fact, it's alive and well. It just kind of went underground for a while.
So you're doing a story about the silent majority here, pretty much.
Exactly. I'm trying to bring it back out into the light.
Well, just to understand what has happened to America here, I think we have to go back a little further. You go back to the early days of the Republic, or even a couple minutes before that, to talk about the way people thought about being cheap in the 1700s.
People often think that frugality has a religious origin in this country, and it was an important part of the Puritan ideology. You know, kind of you get your glory and your rewards in the afterlife, not in this life. Meanwhile, in this life, you work hard, you save your money, and you devote yourself to God. But actually, there's more interesting origin to it than that in this country, which is that during the Revolution, patriots like Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson and John Adams supported the notion of frugality not only because it was supposed to be good for the soul, but more because it was actually good for the American economy. They believed this was the way that the United States could grow its own economy and be less dependent on Europe for all of its trade and all of its goods.
Franklin was the one who said, penny saved is a penny earned?
Exactly, yeah. Ben Franklin didn't always take his own advice. He's a very interesting character and full of contradictions, which made him a lot of fun to write about. But certainly he is our number one apostle of thrift in this country. And, you know, he and the other patriots believed that if Americans could be industrious and work hard and save their money, that would provide them the capital to then till a new field or open a new workshop or hire more apprentices. We would be able to cut off more trade with Britain and become more self-sufficient here.
Well, over the next century or more, as that belief persisted, did Americans actually improve their lives or improve the economy by not spending so much?
They did. I would say it was a very important part of growing the American economy. However, frugality has always been more of a myth and a national ideal than a reality. So the idea we have that we were once a frugal nation and we've become profligate is not true. As soon as loan sharks came around in the early 1900s or installment plans were invented in the mid-1800s, Americans took advantage of that. I like to say that thrift was a virtue Americans couldn't wait to relinquish. And that's as true in the period right after the Revolution as it was, you know, in the 1950s when credit cards were brought into being.
So we've got this tension throughout American history, and there are bursts of consumer spending, and then it's reined in again. Right after World War II was a time when it seemed to change permanently to a consumer economy where spending was good and being cheap was bad. What happened then?
World War II was probably the biggest government stimulus program we've ever had in this country, possibly until last year. You know, a lot of factories were built in order to supply the war effort. And there was a lot of concern by economists and politicians that we would enter a new and very deep depression after World War II ended. You know, and the Great Depression was only a few years previous to that. So this was not an unreasonable concern. So these politicians and economists and retailers and manufacturers sort of decided that if the war couldn't be the stimulus for the American economy, then what could take its place? Well, consumers would take its place, and consumers would keep the economy from plunging into a depression. So, you know, right before the war ended, it actually started, you know, even before the war ended, there was a lot of talk about how, you know, Americans needed to buy more washing machines, buy cars, get prepared for the consumer economy that was coming. And Americans really took that to heart. You know, actually, it's perhaps not ironic that Scrooge McDuck, the famous miserly uncle of Donald Duck, emerged in 1947. Jack Benny's famous sort of cheapskate character on radio and TV came in the late 40s and early 50s. You know, thrift went from being a national virtue, a heroic virtue in our early history, to being kind of a punchline.
So you were doing a patriotic thing if you went out and bought a new washing machine or bought new spring clothes.
Exactly. There was actually a story in Brides magazine, I think it was in the early 50s, saying that new brides should buy brand name products, not only because they would look nice in their homes, but because they would be helping the American economy. And I really think Americans have internalized this idea very deeply. In fact, I was a reporter for Newsday for years, and I covered retail. So I spent a lot of time interviewing consumers about their shopping. And I often got people sort of making the joke to me that they were doing their part to help the American economy.
In the last year or so, as the financial crisis deepened, we've heard more and more reports that Americans are actually finally saving more, putting more money in the bank. So is cheap coming back?
I think it is coming back. You hear a lot about people canceling their cable service or cutting their kids' hair at home over the sink. And I personally think that's a good thing. However, a lot of economists and politicians are wringing their hands about this. You know, they're saying that consumer spending needs to return in order for the economy to get back on track. I actually think that's very short-term thinking and quite wrong-headed. You know, Americans have been trapped or are trapped beneath huge loads of debt right now. The average credit card debt in this country is about $10,000. Average mortgage debt is about $200,000. And until Americans can clean up their balance sheets and get to a point of financial health, there's no way we're going to get our economy back on track. An economy built on debt and borrowing is just not sustainable. It leads to the kind of vicious cycle that we're in right now, which is exuberant bubbles fueled by debt, followed by a painful bust. And I think that the only way we can return to some semblance of a healthy, sustainably growing economy is by people saving some money and paying off that debt. To say otherwise, to tell Americans that they should go back to the shopping mall and charge up their credit cards is like saying that you should give an alcoholic who's going through withdrawal a shot of whiskey to calm his nerves. Mm. You can't solve the problem with the same poison that caused it.
So we should be more like Ben Franklin told us to be rather than the way Ben Franklin was.
Exactly.
Lauren Weber is the author of In Cheap We Trust, the story of a misunderstood American virtue. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.